You are listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein. Almost 2 years ago to the week, the movie Drive came to theaters. It starred Ryan Gosling and Albert Brooks, among others, and it generated a lot of buzz. That its source material was a short novel by a Phoenix novelist who'd not written it with a screenplay in mind was also a surprise. That writer, James Salas, had another book recently published. It's called Others of My Kind. He also still keeps very busy teaching novel writing at Phoenix College and with his band, Three-Legged Dog. James Salas is with me now in studio. Jim Salas, how did the success of Drive at the theaters, as a novel, affect your life?
I have to wear sunglasses when I go to the grocery store now. It's definitely changed my life. First of all, it was just a tremendous shock and a sort of validation that someone made such an exquisite film from one of my books. But the largest thing for me, Steve, has been that all the old books are getting attention, you know, and I don't think a writer can ask more than that. Yes, I got a lot of attention for Drive. I did probably 100 interviews about Drive, which is wonderful because I love the film and I have a very tender spot for the book. But as a writer, to see that attention deflected back on all the other books is pretty amazing. And you can't ask for anything better than that, except possibly, you know, a Pulitzer Prize.
How neurotic a writer are you? Because I think there are some writers who would say, I'm really excited that the rest of my catalog is getting read now, but they might think, hey, I'm a lot better now than I was then.
Oh, well, one hopes that one's better. In some ways, one's better, and I think in some ways, one loses things. It's just like life itself, you know. I'm a lot smarter, and I know a lot more now, but I have a lot of trouble getting out of a chair, and I think writing or creative activity is the same. You develop a certain finesse, a certain style or smoothness, but you give up some of that youthful energy you had when you were reinventing the wheel because you didn't know how to do it, mm-hmm. and now you know how to do it. So it's a trade-off, I think, always.
Yeah, there are so-called formulaic suspense books, mystery books. I happen to be a fan of them, but you know, there is that feeling where if you read a certain author, you kind of know what to expect. Your style, I find it not to be predictable, and I wonder if that's something that, going back to Drive briefly, were you surprised that something that is not, okay, this is clearly not a screenplay written sort of book, was able to be turned into such a well-done movie?
I'm shocked. There's a wonderful comment by Hasimini, who did the script somewhere on the internet, where he says he got the book and he just didn't know what to do because it was not like any book he'd ever gotten to do a script from. So yes, it was quite a surprise, and it took a while though. My agent was so determined that it was going to be a movie that he just kept moving it around He was absolutely sure. And it took about 5 years, and it sat on the shelf for some time. And then one day I got a communication from him by email, and he said, a casting call just went out. And we thought, oh, I guess they really are going to do it. But that's how we found out.
Now, your latest book, Others of My Kind, I'd say it's unconventional, too, if I can phrase it that way. And your protagonist is a little bit different, too. Can you talk about your protagonist a little bit? And
certainly.
How she arrives.
Certainly.
At where she is.
You know, it is different, and it was rather scarily different, actually. And the first draft of Others of My Kind, interestingly enough, was done very close to the time I wrote the first draft of Drive. I had had some surgery. I was housebound, and I was forced to do a lot of writing. I couldn't put it off as easily because I had to sit there anyway. I wasn't very mobile. It started, I was walking down 16th Street, and I had a voice start in my head. Usually, I begin with a visual image, but this time it was someone talking to me. It was someone telling me a story, and it went on for some time, and I realized slowly that this was a woman talking to me, and that she had been abducted as a child and kept in a box under a bed for many years, but she was now an adult, and it was the adult who was talking to me. And I was just so taken with the voice that I went home and I wrote what is basically her backstory, just put it directly into the computer. And, you know, it's gone through some changes and revisions, but that's pretty much it. I found it very interesting that she needed to tell me these things. And I wanted to know who she was now, not what happened to her, which is not the interesting part of the woman in peril. It's what she turns into.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the person who was talking to me. So to get to know who she was, I had to write her story.
Wow. Inspiration comes in so many different forms. Was that the first time you had felt that kind of inspiration?
It's the first time I've actually had that voice coming in. Usually the voice comes in once I've started a book.
Mm-hmm.
But this was so distinct. I mean, it was obviously a person. And it was catching that voice that was the first challenge. And I could always tell when I was going off track, when the voice got dull or it didn't sound right. And I was always kind of coming back to that. The other major challenge for me in writing the book was to not simplify, because anyone who's been in that kind of captivity, has had a major life-changing event like that, has very, very mixed emotions about it. And it was very important for me to present the way Jenny had those conflicting emotions. That yes, she was. It was wonderful to be free in the world, but in another way, it was rather wonderful to be safe and kept. And I always tried to keep that in mind as I was going on, not to be simplistic, not to boil it down to, you know, oh, this is horrible, which is generally what you get.
Mm-hmm. There are certain TV shows, they're always chasing a serial killer, and it just seems so disturbing. So as a writer, how do you wrap your creativity, your sensitivity around a topic that is, you know, really pretty nasty?
Well, you know, when the voice came to me, as I said, I realized that this was heavy, rather caustic material, and I had reservations about it, but Jenny wouldn't go away. She kept talking to me, so I had to do it. And, you know, I'm an intuitive writer. I don't make plans. I follow the characters and the action, but I'm also an analytical writer because I've been a critic for so many years, and I teach. So at some point when I'm writing, I start looking objectively or as objectively as possible at the material. And I realized that, you know, as you say, this is caustic material. And when we turn on the TV and we see Criminal Minds or whatever the show is.
That was one that came to mind. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Woman in Peril almost every time. And you watch those, and I thought afterwards, you know, the woman's in peril. It's terrible. It's awful. And then some guy comes in and saves her. And that's the end of the show. And that's not the interesting part. I'm writing the interesting part, which is what happens to that person afterwards. Mm-hmm. And consonant with that, I started thinking that the most complete people that I knew, the most stable and centered people I knew, were quite often people who had had major traumas in their lives. They had lost children, they had lost parents, they had been in dreadful wars, they had suffered horrible medical collapses or something, and somehow they had taken all of that weight and turned it into a balloon that made them lighter somehow. Mm-hmm. And I realized that that was the other part of what I wanted to do with Jenny.
You're still teaching at Phoenix College?
Yes, I do. I have two novel writing courses, and this past semester, I think I had the best semester I've ever had.
As we said, your style of writing is different as well. Do they have expectations, or some students have expectations, that here's this successful novelist who's going to tell me how to write a novel that gets published?
Oh, don't we all? I've been looking for that person myself since I was about 12. I think that happens initially. I screen my students. Students, it's a special permission class. And I think I turn away a lot of students who probably feel that way. I try to bring in the students who have done a lot of writing first, because I think that's important, and who, if they've not read widely, have read a lot of something, because I think that you cannot stress the importance of that enough. But, you know, the first thing, I have a little set lecture that I do the first time, and one of the things is you're never going to be happy. You know, if you're really working at this, the stick is going to get longer and longer, and you're not going to be able to see the carrot after a while. It's going to be so long.
Phoenix-based writer James Salas, his new book is called Others of My Kind. He's also keeping busy with his band Three-Legged Dog, which next plays on New Year's Eve at the Burton Barn Library.